wasn't expecting to get this much time left on the clock, since Billy mentioned the clock a little bit. But the old saying goes that good singing is just like, to a preacher, is just like saying sick 'em to a cow dog. So we appreciate your participating in the song service. We appreciate you as a group of God's people who love the Word of God, who stand by the Word of God, and are perfectly willing to have the truth preached and presented in this community. And for that, we're indeed grateful, thankful to be a part of this group. Remember, if you will, we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, looked at the first 10 verses in our study together this morning, and we talked about this tabernacle being dissolved. And we kind of compared this fleshly body to the fleshly tabernacle built by hands in the Old Testament. And how that just as the Old Testament tabernacle was temporary, while looking for that permanent temple, our body, our tabernacle, is temporary. Brother Gus Nichols used to make the statement that we were basically just camping out, and that it's sad to say that many people have fallen in love with the campground.
Mm-hmm.
They have kind of lost their vision, lost their sight. But we talked about this earthly tabernacle being dissolved, and we talked about Paul making two positions, or taking two positions, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the first thing that he talked about was that if the Lord came while he was still alive, he wanted to be found worthy of his calling. You know, he preached that message, and he reminded the Thessalonica brethren that they needed to be worthy of their calling. The Apostle Paul was mindful of the fact that if the Lord came before he passed from this life out into eternity, that he wanted to be prepared. He wanted to be ready. He did not want to be like those Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3. That Jehovah God said, I'd kind of like to just spew them out of my mouth, because sometimes they're hot, sometimes they're cold. Therefore, I'll just spew them out of my mouth. And then the Apostle Paul said, but if he passed from this life out into eternity before the Lord came, before the second coming, he really looked for, longed for, craved for that immortal body that was promised him. And you know, we made mention of the fact this morning that it kind of fits into categories. For example, it starts when we put on Christ. When we make the decision by faith to leave the world, to be born again, to be born anew. When we become that new creation, our spiritual growth begins. And we go from day to day preparing for that time when the Lord either comes while we're living, or we prepare to leave this life, because this tabernacle is temporary. We want to be prepared to leave this life and take on that immortal body, that spiritual body that is an eternal body and everlasting. Now, several weeks ago, We took a little look at the 16th chapter of Luke. Remember, if you will, that in that particular section is where it talks about the rich man and Lazarus. Both died. One wakes up in Abraham's bosom. And that particular person had not lived like the rich man. As far as this life and that world's concerns, as far as the world would say, he was really a failure. But yet when that tabernacle was dissolved and he woke up in that spiritual world, in Abraham's bosom, the rich man could see and recognize and realize that he was doing better than he. And he asked for him to be able to come over, dip his finger in water, cool his tongue, because he said, I'm tormented in this flame. You can see from that picture, from that portrait, why Paul would say that he wanted to be prepared. He did not want to be found naked. He wanted to be prepared to utter into that spiritual realm, waiting for the judgment. But one of the most beautiful statements in the entire Bible is written by the Apostle John. And he wrote that statement in the book of 1 John. Notice, if you will, there's five chapters in that little epistle. And the first one begins with him encouraging the New Testament saints to have the same fellowship as he. And he says, I want you to know him just like we knew him. Just like we know him. And I want you to enjoy that fellowship together. And in chapter 5, he concludes that letter by saying that one day we're going to see him as he is. We're going to be like him, and we're going to see him like he is. Now, that's when reality really sets in. There is a place called paradise, Abraham's bosom. A place where the departed souls await the final resurrection, the final judgment. But when that final judgment takes place, that's when reality really becomes real. That's when the real deal sets in. Because you see, that's when we fully take on our spiritual body. That's when we really are able to sit around the throne of God. The throne that John saw in that vision in Revelation when New Jerusalem came down. You see, that's what we're longing for. We talked about that old tabernacle, and it merged into that permanent Jerusalem, but it was earthly too. This new Jerusalem that we're talking about, this new Jerusalem that is going to be a part of our home, our house, that's going to be eternal in nature just like we're going to be eternal in nature. Oh, what a beauty that's going to be. That's what you're really talking about when we're able to see our God, when we're able to see our Lord, when we're able to see the Holy Spirit face to face. I mean, you're going to truly see His glory. When we bow around that throne and sing songs of praise, just like we were singing a few moments ago. So you can see why Paul began 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, it all began back in chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. From the expanded context that takes us way back over into the Old Testament in Exodus chapters 34 and 35. Notice, if you will, Paul in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 5. And he says, "For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart." Remember, we drew a distinction, a comparison, and a contrast between the old law and the new law, the old covenant and the new covenant. We said that old covenant was written in stone. But this new covenant, the one that is our covenant, the one that we embrace, that covenant is written in the heart. It's written in flesh. Now, what is going on and what is giving Paul so much trouble, so much misery, so much heartache, is that they're Judaizing teachers that are following him everywhere he goes. And they're trying to convince those Christians that they in reality need to give up Christianity and keep some parts of the old law. That's the reason he made the statement to the Galatian brethren that if they did that, they were fallen from grace. And he's telling the Christians here in Corinth that there are those that appear to be one thing when in reality they're not. Now, they really, Paul says, they really put on an outward show. Externally, they can really be convincing. But in reality, they're really a prideful people. And their letters of recommendation would be to people just like themselves. In other words, Paul is saying, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are just playing church. They're playing like they're really sincere. You would think outwardly and externally that they were really into this. Kind of sounds like today, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sounds like people in our world. Kind of sounds like people that we could rub shoulders with even in the body of Christ today. As a matter of fact, that's where Paul was running into it back then. And he says, you know, what separates us, what separates our ministry from their ministry, we take it to heart. We live what we preach. We practice what we preach. We are what you see. And we would be willing for you to imitate us in that type of lifestyle. Because here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be like the Savior of the world. We're trying to walk like the sinless Son of God did when He was on this earth. If He had to die on the cross, we're willing to die just like Him. You see why He would say in the preceding verses, oh, we die daily. We die daily. And it should not be strange to it because he said our Lord did the same. Notice as he goes on in verses 13 and 14, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Notice what he's saying here. He's saying what really distinguishes us from our accusers, what distinguishes us from those that pretend to be something that they're not, we take it to heart because the love of Christ constrains us. Because we must judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Notice what he's saying. Notice how serious he really is. Notice how easy it is for us today in this world to lose sight of the insignificance of this earthly tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
Notice, if you will, how easy it is for us to lose sight of the cross and the importance of the cross and put more emphasis in us, our things, our toys, us, than what we really need to. Paul said, you know, this man Jesus left heaven, was born of a virgin, died on the cross for the sins of the world. Anybody that wants to be born again, anybody that wants to be born from above can do so if they follow our instructions. That's the glory of this ministry. That's the glory in what we do. That's the glory in who we serve. We serve the risen Savior. They, on the other hand, they're serving themselves. Wherefore, in verse 16, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us, listen to this, given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Notice what Paul says. We die daily, but what we're not going to do, we're not going to cease to preach the ministry of reconciliation. Well, what is the ministry of reconciliation? It's the gospel. It's the Word of God. That's our priority. That's our number one goal. Have you noticed how that we've kind of lost sight of that? We've kind of lost focus of that in the body of Christ?
Amen.
And we have everything else on our plate. Everything else on our agenda. Everything else is so important to us and to the community as a whole. Paul says, we take serious the preaching of the ministry of reconciliation. Because you see, that makes it possible for more people like us that would be willing to die daily to give their life so that others could have a spiritual body created by God Himself, eternal in the heavens. Remember, if you will, in Romans, the 6th chapter, there's a beautiful section there. And it begins in verse 1, talking about dying to sin. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid it. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? How could a preacher claiming to be a preacher for Christ stand behind the pulpit such as this and say, baptism is not essential for your salvation. It has nothing to do with your redemption. How could one say that? And read basic, simple, fundamental scriptures like Jesus said as He departed. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Mm-hmm.
He that believeth not shall be damned. Turn with me, if you will, over to the book of Galatians for just a second. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul begins in verse 1 of that chapter reminding these Christians, Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. And be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. You see, we were in the bondage of sin, just like the Israelites were in bondage to Pharaoh. And the only way they could get out of Egypt was through the mighty works of God through Moses, his leader. The only way that we can get out of the bondage of sin is through baptism.
Amen.
Putting on Christ in baptism. Notice what he says in verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Beautiful section over in the book of Colossians. Turn over there, if you will, for just a moment. Colossians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1, notice what Paul tells the Colossian brethren. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, when will we have that reality? Oh, it's at the resurrection. It's when we hear our Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in unto thy rewards. It's at that time. Paul said, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ shall appear, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. And then he goes on to say, mortify, put to death your members which are upon the earth. Notice what he's saying. That old tabernacle is not that important. Put it to death. Put those worldly, enticing desires out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Let the Word of God influence you to live a faithful, godly Christian life. Notice what he says down about verse 10. You put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, so also do you. You see what Paul was saying to the Corinthian brethren. If this earthly tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Amen.
And we need, like Paul, to have an attitude and a mindset. If he comes before we go to bed tonight, he's not going to find us naked. He's not going to find us unprepared. He's not going to find us involved in activities that would separate us from him. And if we pass from this life out into eternity and we never wake up in the morning, we go to bed prepared to stand before him at the judgment, and he's, as he said in verse 10, answer for the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. In the audience this evening, need the prayers of the congregation in any way, why not take the opportunity as Billy leads us in this song?
Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Sing out songs of soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I call. Almost persuaded, come today. Persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, wanderer, come. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded,
did not have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, if you'll raise your hand, we'll be glad to serve you.
We're going to sing his final song, and we do have, right, we got food left over for you. We got plenty of food left over, and good fellowship goes along with it, so I want everybody to stay. We'll sing 109. We'll ask Brother Charles if he will dismiss it. I couldn't help but think about it as he was preaching tonight, talking about that life is but a vapor. Folks, we're here one day and gone the next. I mean, life, you already see it. Life's going by so fast. I mean, you look back and you think, man, where's the last 20-something years? And I know a lot of y'all are older than I am, but it seems like the older you get, the faster it goes, too. We'll all be in heaven before you know it. 109.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with,
that you'll watch over us this week, that you'll bring us back our next appointed time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.